And now, the show that's all about baseball.
That's when the game, to me, is at its best.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass.
Brought to you by Bigelow Tea, KM Hot Dogs, I Promise, official eye vitamin of the Boston Red Sox, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, and Window World.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know what? I do believe we found the ball well throughout the whole series. The two pitches to Altuve that changed both games, and then it seems like we haven't been able to stop their fast break offense, right? When they get going, they get going, and they don't stop swinging. And that's something we recognize. You see the splits throughout the season. When men in scoring position for X or Y reason, you know, they become Hall of Famers. As a team, you know, they're average with nobody on, but when men in scoring position, they're Hall of Famers. So we got to make sure we bring it back to earth. You know, we stop what they're doing. We have to execute pitches. There's certain guys that, you know, they're not going to beat us tomorrow, you know, and, you know, there's other guys that have to step up for them, and then they have to do the damage. So, I think we've done overall an okay job. We haven't been able to stop that big inning, but like I said, we need to stop their fast break offense with men in scoring position. You know, make them humans, not Hall of Famers with men in scoring position.
Okay, that's Alex Cora, Red Sox manager, with a comment that has drawn a lot of attention here in the last day or so as the Red Sox prepare to play Game 6 of the American League Championship Series tonight against the Houston Astros in Houston. Win, there will be a Game 7 tomorrow. Lose, the season ends tonight in Houston. So I'll make this quick because we have an abbreviated program tonight. Matt McCarthy's in studio, as he is every Friday, or typically every Friday. And we're only going till 6:30 tonight because the Celtics are playing the Raptors. And we are your home for lots of things here at 98.5, including Celtics basketball, Bruins hockey. And actually, Jimmy, it's the Bruins game, right?
Yes.
So it is the Bruins who are also playing tonight against the Buffalo Sabres. We'll go to Bruins pregame at 6:30. But we have a full slate here at 98.5. So let me start with Matt McCarthy and ask him just this question. Alex Cora's comments. Do you think he was calling out the Houston Astros for stealing signs?
Yeah, I do. I think the Houston Astros are stealing signs. I think the Red Sox are stealing signs too, though. So that's how I feel about that. And I think there is an element of truth. They just have to find a way to stop him, Maz, because this series is going to be won by the team that hits over these final two games. I think the Red Sox win tonight, but it's going to come down to these offenses. It's going to come down to these lineups. It will come down to those bats. I don't think either one of those teams can pitch all that well, and I think it's going to come down to the lineups.
Okay, we'll open up the phone lines right away, by the way. 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls up until 6:30, which again, we'll turn it over to Bruins pregame at that point. And Matt, I said this yesterday to Felger. I'll say it again now, that you obviously the Red Sox are behind 3-2. We all know that. But if we're looking at the way the pitching is set up, I think the Red Sox are in better shape than the Astros are. So Houston will have Luis Garcia go to the mound tonight, and you say, well, he got pulled in game two, so he's rested, which is true. But I would also tell you that Garcia has been garbage the last three or four times he's gone out. And at the end of the day, who would you rather have on the mound, Nathan Eovaldi or Luis Garcia? I'll take Nathan Eovaldi. I don't know how deep he's going to go into the game. I would not minimize the or overlook the potential impact in this game of Christian Javier out of the Houston bullpen. He's been an important guy for them, was a very important guy in game four. I thought he really was the guy that Houston built its victory on in that game. But when you look at it here, how do you handicap the Red Sox chances to win two down there?
I give them a good chance because of the pitching matchups. But that being said, I do think this comes down to the lineups in the end, because while I think the Red Sox do have the pitching advantage, and normally that's how I would handicap playoff series, Maz, what I've seen in the first five games of the ALCS is it really comes down to who's hitting. There have been very few, I think, dominant, elite, good performances. Valdez the other night was great. Obviously, the Red Sox have gotten a couple good performances along the way. So I think it comes down to the lineups and whoever is hitting on one of those nights, because I just don't think that either of these teams have elite pitching staffs. So I give the Red Sox the advantage. I think they win tonight because Nate Eovaldi's on the mound, but tomorrow's a game seven. If they get there, anything can happen. And yes, I'd take Rodriguez over Urquidy, but I just don't think it really matters all that much because both of these teams win based on their offenses, not based on their pitching.
Yeah, and again, look, you said the right thing. Tonight's the one where you have the advantage. Tomorrow's a fire drill for everybody. And again, neither team will have to play again until the 26th. Tomorrow's the 23rd, so you get a few days off there, or a couple days anyway, until game one of the World Series for whoever wins in advances. But you mentioned lineups as well. A couple things to note. Hunter Renfro dropped to the 8th spot in the lineup tonight. J.D. Martinez now will be your number 5 hitter. Verdugo is 6. Arroyo is 7. I'll tell you the only reason I think that that is important. And if you remember the other night, what happened is Rafael Devers singled J.D. Martinez and got hit by a pitch. The Red Sox had first and second with nobody out. And Hunter Renfro came up and hit into a double play. Well, if that happens tonight, and then it's Verdugo or Arroyo, I think you can bunt. I don't think you could bunt the other night. Renfro hasn't had a sacrifice bunt in years. And I don't know if Verdugo has, but just looking at him as a player, I would tell you he's got better back control and an idea than Renfro does. And certainly we know Arroyo can bunt.
Yeah, that's a good call out there, Maz, because there was no way they would have been able to bunt with Renfro in that situation. The guy's not exactly a great fundamental baseball player, as we see in the outfield with him throwing the ball all over the place and the way he approaches his at-bats, too. So that's a good call-out. Yeah, that maybe makes a difference with Renfro moving down in the lineup.
Okay, and I also want to get to the fact that Renfro is in this lineup at all. And what does it say about Alex Cora? And what does it say about Kyle Schwarber? What does it say about that whole decision when they could have put Bobby Dalbec into this game? We'll do that in the next segment, but we'll take a couple of your calls first. I see you all lined up. We'll kick it off tonight with Rudy, who's in Connecticut. Rudy, fire away, pal.
Hey, Tony. On the Renfro Schwarber thing, I think Schwarber, something's going on with Schwarber's hamstring. Watch that left leg tonight. His swing hasn't been the same since that cramp the other night. But what I really wanted to talk about tonight was the catching and Vasquez, and the fact that I think Vasquez is the guy he's the one tipping. I think when you watch and you watch him go down to a knee, which for some reason is the new style with a lot of these catchers, he goes down to that knee. And I think he tips pitch. I think he tips breaking balls when he does it. And the other thing, when he goes down to that knee, and go back and watch the film, when Altuve's on first there, I forget which inning it was the other night, but basically ball in the dirt, Vasquez doesn't get around it to block it, ball kicks away from him, now all of a sudden runner in scoring position. Vasquez is cost in the last couple nights.
Okay, so Rudy, I don't know which at-bat you're talking about there. That Altuve went to second on, there was a little dribbler to the left side. He was in motion. There wasn't am I missing something, Matt?
I assume he's talking about the Schwarber play at first base where Altuve took third because he was going on the pitch. That's my assumption,
He said that Vasquez didn't block a ball and Altuve went to second. So I don't see a connection there per se, but you want to tell me he's tipping pitches. I'll take your word on that. I mean, I'm open to anything there. That any guy on the diamond could be indicating one way or another, whether it's pitch location or pitch type, what is coming, and the Astros have picked up on it. If it's Vasquez, fine. Plawecki always catches Eovaldi. Always. Except for the first game of that Yankees series, and Eovaldi got his face ripped off. So the Red Sox haven't messed with that one again since. Bill's in Natick. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, evening, guys. So let's say the Sox lose these series. Do you think, or what do you think if, do you think Cora is going to come out, or possibly the players that may elude or just come out and straight up say and accuse the Astros of cheating for the series?
Okay, Matt, do you think that'll happen?
Highly doubt it. Can't come from Alex Cora, can't come from the Red Sox, given their history. I mean, so what, you're going to accuse them of cheating, given the fact that you had the Apple Watches under John Farrell, or Alex Cora, had the thing with the video guy in 2018? Can't come from the Red Sox, just can't.
Yeah, I think that the closest you're going to get is what Cora did yesterday on workout day, which is to say these guys look like Hall of Famers when they have guys in scoring position. The rest of the time, they look pretty average, which to me is, not so subtle. And Felger made this point that it's not very subtle. I say it's a veiled, and it is veiled because he doesn't directly call them out, but it's thinly veiled, Cora's basically saying, yeah, when there's a guy standing on second base, somehow they're relaying signs. So we got to find a way to put an end to that. And we got to put a stop to it. There are only certain guys on this team that can hurt us. We know who they are, and we're not going to let it happen. I'll believe it when I see it. Matt's in Lowell. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, when do we get off the whole sign stealing? Isn't there a time in true baseball when athleticism just wins on the field, despite coach mystique and everything else? I mean, I played baseball, and at one point, athleticism is going to overtake anything.
Yeah, so look, so Matt, that's not totally true. You say athleticism, I think what you mean is ability, okay? Because I don't know that the best baseball teams are always the most athletic, but let's just say there is some sign stealing going on. How much of an impact on this series has it had?
I would say if there's illegal sign stealing going on, Maz, that has a significant impact because I think it's the greatest advantage in sports, knowing what pitch is coming. So if you're stealing signs illegally and it's not a guy at second base picking the sign and relaying it, which is totally fine, yeah, then I'd say that had a pretty significant impact on this series.
Okay, so let's say no one's using television cameras. Do you think one team's doing it more than the other?
Probably not.
Yeah, me neither. So I don't think that the sign stealing, quote unquote, is what is deciding this series. Frankly, I think that Houston's lineup's a little better than yours, if you really want to get down to it. And I don't know whether Schwarber's hurt or not. Previous caller said that he did tweak a hamstring earlier in the series. It looked like a cramp. He hasn't limped. I don't know how well he's moving. And maybe it is affecting him in the batter's box. I just think that 1-7, Houston's a little deeper than you. Hunter Renfro stinks. He stinks. And I don't know, maybe Tucker stinks too, but I'll take Tucker because he's left-handed over Renfro. Okay, if we're going apples to apples, I think Tucker's a better player than Renfro.
I agree.
If people want to tell me they think he stinks, go ahead. I'm not going to tell you that. I think he's better than Renfro. I think Renfro plays stupid. I think he plays stupid, and the Red Sox lineup's a little thinner. And by the way, that doesn't mean the Red Sox lineup stinks. It's good. They have a good lineup. I think Houston's is deeper and better, and I think Yordan Alvarez makes a big difference there. Schwarber is in the lineup tonight, as is Renfro. We'll tell you what that says about Alex Cora when we come back on the Baseball Hour tonight with Matt McCarthy.
The show that's all about baseball. The Baseball Hour, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
New name, same old Mass.
I know that's a big word the Red Sox like to use.
It's the Baseball Hour with Tony Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to the Baseball Hour. We'll get right back to your phone calls here, but I do want to ask Matt McCarthy a quick question. Kyle Schwarber's at first base tonight, batting leadoff, right-hander on the mound for the Astros. Hunter Renfro has dropped to the number 8 position in the lineup. He's in right field. So the question then becomes, if you were going to drop Renfro to the 8 position, how much faith could you have him in anyway? Would the Red Sox have been better off putting Bobby Dalbec at first base, say Schwarber in left field, Verdugo in right, or you get the idea, some combination there, putting Dalbec in the game? Would you have done that?
Yes, I would have, and here's why. I have no faith in Bobby Dalbec at the plate right now. It's obvious the Red Sox have no faith in him either. He has, one at bat in this series. I don't like him against the righty, but I would put him there because I think it makes you, and I can't believe I'm saying this, a better defensive baseball team.
No, it does.
Kyle Schwarber, in my opinion, Maz, may have cost you the game the other day. People aren't focusing enough on that error at first base that totally spiraled that inning. You get 2 outs there when Alvarez is up. Maybe the inning goes completely different. Maybe a walk him. Who knows? That Schwarber error was massive. Absolutely massive. So if Renfro isn't hitting, then I want somebody in the infield who maybe can play the position. Not that Dahlbeck's great, But I think he can kind of play the position just a little
bit. Better than Schwarber.
He's better than Schwarber.
Yeah, it's not even close. He's better than Schwarber.
So I would have gone with Dahlbeck for the glove, to be totally honest, because Renfro's giving you nothing at the plate. And I'm sorry, he's not giving you much in the field either. All right, the guy's a rockhead in the field. He'll throw you out because he's got a great arm, but he won't catch the ball because he doesn't know where to go and he doesn't know what base to throw it to.
Well, and on the times he throws you out, it'll take him five tries because he's going to overthrow cutoff men and sometimes, you know, whip it to nobody in general. And so, look, you know, I agree with you on Dahlbeck. I don't like Schwarber first base. I haven't since the very beginning. Part of me wonders if Alex Cora doesn't just continue to put Schwarber at first base out of spite, meaning that the Red Sox clearly needed first base help at the deadline. They didn't get it. Schwarber can't play the position. He made an error the other night that I think it's fair for you to note that was a crossing mistake and could have may have been as big a mistake as any other in the game. People gloss over it because we just accept the fact that he can't play defense. But if Schwarber blows the game at first base, who do we blame? Do we blame Cora or do we blame Bloom?
Bloom.
Because the Red Sox don't have a first baseman, or at least who can play the position, unless you count Travis Shaw.
Would you put Shaw in this lineup tonight against the righty? I'd consider it over Dahlbeck. Yeah, like, I want a first baseman in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, it crossed my mind, too, that take Renfro out, put Shaw at first. I'm really down on Renfro, but with the way the game goes, as we all know, Renfro will probably hit a 3-run homer tonight. So we'll try to take some more of your calls here. Again, we're checking out at 6:30 tonight because the Bruins are playing the Buffalo Sabres. You can catch that game right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are obviously the home of Bruins hockey, so we'll be carrying that game here as we honor those rights agreements every time. And frankly, the Celtics are playing as well, too. So you get lots of sports tonight in Boston. Dean in Shrewsbury. Dean, go.
There was no reason for the Red Sox to go over the luxury tax. I don't think they're good enough. I didn't think they were good enough to win it at the time. I still don't think they're good enough to win it now. I don't think Anthony Rizzo would have put us over the top. We're just not as good at cheating as the Astros are.
Okay, so listen, Dean. Yeah, Dean, I get the whole cheating reference, but let me ask you a question. What if you had gotten Kendall Graveman?
I don't know enough about him, to be honest.
Okay, well, Kendall Graveman would have improved your bullpen.
Yep.
And I think you want to know one of the real untold stories of this postseason? The complete deterioration of Matt Barnes.
Totally agreed.
Like, if Matt Barnes is in your bullpen, you're not warming up Evaldi the other night. Ottavino pitching one batter doesn't hurt you as much. And Barnes gets the seventh. Maybe Whitlock gets the eighth and ninth. Like, who knows? You have way more options at the end of these games. Hansel Robles isn't pitching late in games, and he wouldn't go belly up on you. The demise of Matt Barnes was a critical factor for the Red Sox. Critical. Now, look, they didn't plan on that happening, but you can always use bullpen help, and they didn't really get legitimate bullpen help at the deadline. Jay's in a car. Jay, go.
Jay. I want to take exception towards the end of the major program. You were suggesting to throw at batters who might be cheating by stealing signs.
Yep.
Throwing a ball at 95 miles an hour at a human being is assault and battery. And for you to be promoting that.
Hey, Jay, are you a baseball fan? Jay, let me ask you a quick question. Are you a baseball fan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, how long have you been
I am.
How long have you been a baseball fan?
I'm 67 years old.
Okay, did pitchers ever throw at hitters before?
Well, 67 years ago, it didn't make it right.
Okay.
So you promoting assault and battery against a human. I love baseball, but I don't think that's the way you enforce or improve the competition.
So if someone did it, Jay, if someone did it, you'd want him arrested?
I know that's hyperbole now.
Okay, assault and battery is hyperbole. It used to happen all the time. It's considered part of the game. It's a way for one team to say, okay, fine, that's the way you're going to play, then we're going to drill your ass when you get in the batter's box. So let's not call it assault and battery. If I said knock a guy down, would that be better? I mean, let's not get ridiculous. This really is where it gets ridiculous. And this is where you start to get agitated. It's assault and battery now to do something that you got Bob Gibson in the Hall of Fame. That's what it is. It's assault and battery, but I'm the one who speaks in hyperbole. Nick's in a car. Nick, go.
Hey, I think it's just very simple, guys. As soon as the Red Sox get runners on base, we have to score. You can't leave runners stranded against this team. We let them hang around way too much those last two games, and it killed us. And like Cora said, we couldn't stop the fast break offense. Well, we had no offense, and we were trying to hit home runs every time we were stepping up to the plate. We got to change our approach tonight if we want to extend this series. It's that simple.
So, Nick, I think Alex Cora would agree with you. He believes that he has said over and over again, we're an offensive team. We have to win with offense. Do you agree with that, Matt McCarthy?
100%. Again, that's how this series will be won. And the Red Sox need to string some innings together here. Like, they have done all of their damage in this series with the home run. If you limit their ability, if you keep them in the ballpark, they don't win games. So you got to eventually at some point tonight or tomorrow, if you get there to win this series, you're going to have an inning or two where you string it together with three or four hits. And it's not entirely dependent on hitting the ball out of the ballpark.
So Chris Gasper said this earlier in the day, the Red Sox were drawing some walks earlier in this series, putting guys on base. There were men on base when they did hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Seven walks in game four.
Yeah.
And they scored two runs.
Yeah. And I think one of the untold things here, the Astros have done a much better job of getting ahead in the count. Particularly in the last game when Valdez pitched great. And that first pitch fastball all of a sudden now opens up a guy chasing the breaking ball out of the zone. Those hitters will chase much more when they're down 0-1. When they're up 1-0, they'll take. And they'll continue to take until you even the count. Then 1-0 becomes 2-0. 2-0 becomes 3-1. Now you're in a favorable count. Now you're hitting the ball out of the ballpark. So it's basic stuff. It's not all that revolutionary. Strike one favors the pitcher. Ball one favors the batter. Always has, always will.
Story as old as time, Matt.
Yes, that one is not going to change much. And so, it certainly would behoove the Red Sox to get base runners. The other night, they didn't have many. And then when they got one, Renfroe hit into a double play. They got two, and Renfroe hit into a double play twice. Anyway, Matt, 10 seconds. Any final thought?
Red Sox win tonight. You know what, Maz? Screw it. Sox in seven.
Okay, so
Sox in seven.
I'm not making a pick. Pick it and stick it. But tonight's the big one. You get to tomorrow night, it's a fire drill for everybody.
Weasel.
Bruins and Sabres coming up next here on 98.5. Everybody, enjoy an action-packed weekend. We will speak with you on Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.